Well, I read that futurists used to predict that one of the problems for our coming generations was going to be that we would have too much free time. Yeah, I know. I laughed when I heard that too. But seriously, though, the truth is that in 1967, there was a testimony before the United States Subcommittee, which predicted that by 1985, that the average work week would be just 22 hours. Isn't that amazing? Now, a lot's changed, but I know that one thing is for certain, that is not one of them. Things have not gotten easier or less busy. I mean, I'm sure they thought that it would because of the technological advances. They assumed that if you could do things twice as fast and twice as efficient, then surely you'll have twice as much free time. And they were right about one thing. By 1985, we did have the ability to do things twice as fast, if not more. But they were wrong in their conclusion that it would make us less busy. I know because I was born in 1985, and so I was part of that generation. And I was what they refer to today as a latchkey kid. Back then, I think we just called them kids, but this term latchkey kid, if you're not familiar with it, it would refer to a kid that would come home to an empty house because their parent or parents were away working. And we'd say latchkey because it referred to that key that we would have on a string around our necks, or we'd have it in the barbecue or underneath the front doormat. And I was one of those kids, and I would come home at about 3:30, let myself in, cook some Kraft dinner, sit down and watch The Simpsons till my parents got home. My wife can attest to that as well. She was one of those kids. And believe me, if my mom only had to work 22 hours a week, then she would have been there for me when I got home from school. She probably would have been there to pick me up from school. But unlike what they predicted, we didn't get less busy. We actually got more busy. Busyness rose. Not just did busyness rise, but so did the divorce rate and the rate of single-parent homes. And the after-school childcare system just hadn't caught up at that point with that. And I grew up in a single-parent home during that time. And my mom always regretted, in fact, she still says that one of her biggest regrets is that she just couldn't be there for me and my sister as much as she wanted to. She didn't spend enough time with us. And I always said to myself, when I grow up, I'm never going to be that busy. Never. Now, it's true, I don't have to work as much as my mom did. She often worked 50-plus hours, sometimes 60-plus hours a week as a single mom. But I do find that I'm still just as busy, you know, if not busier, just with other things, I guess. And it hurts my heart when I have to leave my house and my kids say, "Daddy, hey, can you stay?" And I say, "Sorry, guys, I gotta go." And they go, "Oh." But it hurts because that's this thing of busyness, right? And I'm sure we've all at some point felt that. We've felt that sting of busyness, especially those of us who have young families. I think we all, in some way, even if we don't have young families, feel that, and we struggle with that. We feel the effects of busyness, how it's sapping us of our joy, how it's attributing to our anxiety, how it's stressing us out, making us way more stressed than we want to be. I know sometimes it can feel like the world is just crashing down in on us and we can't breathe because we're just too busy. It seems like we have too much to do and not enough time and not enough energy to do it. Sometimes to my wife, I say it feels like I'm being waterboarded with busyness because I'm drowning and I just have too much to do. And then when I do get a break, which is sometimes, it's just enough for me to be able to catch my breath and then I'm back under it again. If you're like me, you hate this. I hate when I get too busy because things just start to slip. I start to become kind of unglued a little bit. And for me, the first thing to go is my memory. Not that I had a great memory to begin with. Lacey's laughing. Not like I had a good memory to begin with, but my memory just kind of starts to slip a little bit. Like the other day, I was talking to someone, and they said, "So Keith, I understand that we're doing this thing." And I said, "Yes, that's true. We're doing this thing." And they said, "Well, that's great." And I said, "Yeah, but who said that we were going to do that?" And they said, "Well, you said that." Really? I said that? I said, yeah. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. Can you remember why I said we should do that thing? And they said, no. I said, ah, darn. So now I was in a predicament because I didn't think it was a good thing to be doing, but I trusted past Keith because he's a good guy and he's a reasonable dude. And I don't think that he would just say we're going to do this thing unless he had a good reason. So in the end, I just said, you know what? Let's just go with what he said. Let's do that. See? I hate this. I hate busyness. I hate having all these balls in the air, and I'm juggling them, and I feel like it's such a juggling act, and I'm so busy trying to manage all the things that I'm working in my life, I never get a chance to work on my life. I think we all instinctively know that, to some extent, that there's some things that are urgent, but there's things that are important, and those are the things that matter. Spending time with our kids and with our family and asking the deeper eternal questions of life, you know, working on our marriage, building friendships, these are the things that are so important to us. But yet sometimes it seems like we're just too busy, we don't have time for that. Do you know the number one excuse I get when if I ask people why they don't go to church or why they're not in a small group or why they're not working on their marriage? Can you guess what it is? Too busy. I say, no, I'm just too busy. And sometimes busyness is just that problem that seems to affect all of us and seems like there's nothing we can do about it. But if you're like me, you've probably tried to do something about it. Lots of times I've tried. I've tried this thing and tried that thing, and maybe it works for a little bit, but not that long. And every year it seems like no matter what I do, I'm a little bit busier than the year before and the year before that. I can remember when I was in college, I thought to myself, oh, I'm busy. Oh, man, I'm busy. I'm so busy. I can't wait to be graduated, and then I can just be done with all of this. And then I graduated, and I got a career, and I was married, and you know, I got a car and mortgage and all that stuff. And it was almost laughable that I thought that I was busy in college compared to how busy I was then. And then I had a kid. And I got a little bit more busy. And then I got a second kid. Now, I know some people say, hey, listen, you know, after you have one kid, every other one, it's not that big of a deal. You know, you just add them on to the, you know. But I like the illustration that Jim Gaffigan gives. And he says, you know what it's like to have a child, and then someone gives you another, and then you get another child? He says, it's like you're drowning, like you're treading water. And then someone says, here's a baby. And it's like that. It's like you're just, it just adds on, and you're so busy. And then now I look back at past Keith, and I say, no, you weren't busy. Now I'm busy. And I'm sure in a few years my kids are going to grow up, and they're going to get into, like, sports or dancing or whatever, and they're going to be in all these extracurricular activities, and I'm going to be running around, driving them different places. And I'm going to be like, man, present Keith, he wasn't very busy. Now I'm really busy. Right? And so in all these times of my busyness, I always thought to myself, you know, I'm busy because I just have so many things to do. That's why I'm busy. I just have a huge laundry list of things to do. And if I didn't have so many things to do, well, then I wouldn't be so busy. And this was kind of a lie I think I told myself, because then what happened is that I got unemployed for several months. And you know what I found when I was unemployed? I felt just as busy as I had ever felt. I thought, that's very strange. I thought, how is it that I got all the things done that I needed to do when I was also working full-time? How can anyone do that? And it must be this phenomenon that retirees experience. I know lots of people who are retired, especially when they first get retired. They say to me, you know, I feel just as busy as ever, you know. And it's observing this and all these other things that have led me to discover what is often referred to as the busyness myth. Because you see, one of the biggest lies, one of the biggest myths about busyness is that it's only a matter of what you have to do. You know, how many things on your to-do list? That's the only thing that contributes to our busyness. And so busyness really is just a surface-level issue, right? And so I'm busy because, I had a busy day. It's just a busy week. It's just a busy month. I got a lot to do this month. Or it's just this season. Yeah, I'm just going through a busy season. It'll pass. And then you look at your wife and she rolls her eyes. And you realize, I've said this before, haven't I? I sound like a broken record. My friends, does this kind of thing sound familiar to you? Does it sound like something your spouse has said? Maybe you've heard people say, maybe you've said. Is this maybe part of your inner monologue? You know, is this something you think all the time? It's just a season. Oh, it'll pass. Listen, my friends, that's the busyness myth, because the truth of the matter is, it's not just a season. It's not going to pass. You'll always be just as busy as you ever felt, if not more busy, unless you intentionally choose to do something about it. You have to do something about it, whatever that is. Because if you always do what you've always done, then you always get what you've always got. That's the truth of the matter. So you got to do something about it, whether that's, you know, working on it or asking the hard questions or, you know, listening to these busyness talks or joining a small group to talk about and discuss our busyness and how God can help us with that. But I get why you wouldn't want to join a small group. Believe me. Listen, I'm going to go on a small group rant here. I get it, because the reason you wouldn't want to go to a small group is the same reason that I wouldn't want to go to a small group too, is because it's one more time slot in my week that I got to give away to something, right? But the truth of the matter is that if I don't take an opportunity to start working on myself, to start working on the deeper things of life, start working on my busyness, then the busyness will always be working on me. And I'll never be in control. I'll never have that freedom, right? And I believe in small groups. I really do. Because my best friend in the world, best man at my wedding, my best mate, he's one of the busiest guys I know. I mean, his last name might as well be Overtime. I mean, just, he lives on overtime. I don't know what he would do if he didn't have overtime. And I once convinced him to come to a small group with me. And it was tough. I mean, I literally had to go to his house every week, pick him up, drive him to the small group, and even then he was kind of dragging his feet. And he never really liked going there, but once he was there, he always had a great time. And something I can attest to, and even my wife can attest to, is that he was never happier. He was never healthier. His family, his marriage was never healthier. You're good friends with his wife. Their marriage was never healthier than when they were attending a small group. And I had two other friends too. One was a man, one was a woman. They didn't know each other, but I convinced them both to join a small group with me. There at that small group, they met each other. They hit it off, and 2 years later, I was performing their marriage. So, my friends, I believe in small groups. Is it going to cost you something? Yeah. It's going to cost you another time slot, sure. But I guarantee you, you won't regret it. I guarantee you that it's going to be worth it. It's totally going to be worth it. But to be fair, I think busyness does have at least some small part to do with just how many things we have to do. And sometimes it does have to do with the season we're in or the season of life that we find ourselves in. But to say that this is the only contributing factor to our busyness, that would be to fall into the busyness myth. And it's far too simplistic, I think, of an explanation. The explanation is actually far more deeper than that. And that is why if you try to deal with your busyness with just dealing with it on the surface, you're never going to deal with it. So if you think that you're going to be less busy by sharpening your time management skills, or by installing a calendar app on your phone, or life hacks, or canceling a few of your engagements, or speeding and running lights, it's not going to do it. Now, I should clarify this, because this is recorded. We're going to put it on the internet here. I've never done that. Nor do I condone speeding and running lights. Never actually myself ever done this. But I've heard that that's something that people do to try to save time, you know? But then often you just get stuck at the next red light, right? You know? Doing that stuff is not going to deal with your busyness, because busyness, the source of it, is much deeper. It's like the story of a mental hospital in the United States many, many years ago that devised a plan to be able to test if their patients were ready for release. And so what they would do, if a patient was ready for release, they'd bring them into a room where there was a tap running and it was overflowing the sink onto the ground. And they'd pass them a mop and a bucket, and they would say, here, clean it up. And if the patient had the good sense to go and turn off the tap first, then they would release them. But if they didn't, then if they were just sitting there trying to clean up the water without turning off the tap, they would keep them for more treatment. Because, my friends, the definition of insanity is that you do the same thing over and over and over again without getting any results, thinking that that is going to get you somewhere. That's not going to get you anywhere, my friends. And how many of us have tried time and time again to overcome our busyness, to deal with our busyness by dealing with it on a surface level and just not getting anywhere? To fix our busyness problem, we got to go deeper than that. We got to go to the source and ask ourselves, what is the source of the water? What is the source of our busyness? Let me to explain to you just for a minute the source. If you've ever done a psychology 101 class, you've probably heard of a man by the name of Maslow and his theory on our hierarchy of needs. In case you never took psychology 101, or like me, you just took it so long ago you can't remember, or perhaps you took it before he published his theories in the 1950s. Whatever reason, I'll give you a quick little rundown of what it is here. We're going to pull it up here. And basically, the concept is, Maslow said that every human, to get to their full potential, needs to get to a place of wholeness and fulfillment, which he calls self-actualization. He says, to get there, we have these needs, and you need to meet those needs first in order to get there. And this actually connects very well with what modern-day psychologists are saying, too, and that is, every human being has basic needs. And our basic needs could be summarized into two major categories, our need for security and our need for significance. And in Maslow's hierarchy, the bottom two represent our need for security, okay? To have our physical needs met and taken care of. And the next two represent our need for significance, our need to feel loved and accepted and important. And then, of course, there's self-actualization, which he later renamed self-transcendence. For he critiqued himself, and he realized that the true ultimate goal of a person is to be focused on something or someone above themselves, beyond themselves, outside of themselves. And the question is, what does this whole theory of our hierarchy of needs have to do with our busyness? Well, you need to see that we're busy, we're so busy in our lives, trying to run around meeting these needs. And so you run around working overtime, working very, very hard at your job so that you can provide for your physical needs, so that you can have a nice home, not just any home, but a nice home. And then you have to work hard to pay for the insurance for that home so that that home will be secure in case anything happens to it. And you need a really large savings account just in case a rainy day comes along or you know, anything happens to those things that are in your house or your furnace breaks down. And you don't just need a job that provides physically for you. You're working hard to get a good education. You're working hard to get a really good high position that is not just paying well, but is very important and high demanding because you need a job that also provides for you a sense of importance, right? You need a job that gives you a sense of you're doing something that matters because you need to know that you matter. You need significance, right? And you're running around trying to meet everyone else's expectations of you, trying to keep everybody happy and pleased because you need to feel loved and you need to feel accepted. You need to know that people like you. My friends, there's nothing wrong with having these needs. We all have these needs. My friends, there's nothing wrong with trying to meet these needs. For we all want to meet those needs. The mistake we make is thinking that we need to have all those needs 100% totally met before we can get to self-transcendence, before we can start seeking after God and seeking after the deeper things of life. And this is really where Maslow got it wrong, because you see, Maslow was a humanist. And humanists believe that by human ingenuity and human effort, every single one of our problems can be solved. And they see people just as physical and mental beings. But as most of us know, we're not just physical and mental beings, we're spiritual beings as well. And so if you have a human problem, you can't fix a human problem unless you go after all three parts. And so many of us are tired We're so busy because we're running around trying to meet our needs 100%, just physiologically and psychologically, providing for our needs. But yet we always feel like we're lacking somewhat because we're only addressing it physically and psychologically. And we feel that something's lacking in our lives, so we don't feel we should ever take the time to seek God or to ask those really important internal questions like, where do I go when I die? We don't focus on those things because we say, first we got to get this figured out. But here's the kicker, my friends. God helps us to meet our needs. He helps us to find security. He helps us to find significance. And so the best way to do that is to make time in your already busy schedule for God, and you'll actually become less busy. You will be less busy because you don't need to feel like you have to do everything to get those needs met. God is doing it. For example, I know that God loves me, and I know that I'm his child. I know that if he loves me, and if I know that I'm his child, I know that he hears me when I call out to him. When I pray to him, he listens. He takes care of my needs. He's promised that he's going to hear me every time I call out to him, and that he is a loving father, and he can meet me in my time of need. In fact, I think Jesus said it best from the Bible. When he said this, he said, "So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." My friends, I believe these words from the Bible to be true. And so I believe these are promises from God. I believe it's a promise from God that I can stand on, and if I can stand on that, then I have confidence in God, and I don't have to be so worried all the time, worried that I'm pleasing people, worried that I'm working hard enough, trying to prove myself or prove something to myself or to others. I can relax. I can have that freedom, knowing that I care to God, that I matter to him. You know, that he is smiling down on me, that whether I pass or whether I fail, he loves me all the same. To know that he made me and he doesn't make mistakes. That's the confidence I have in God. And so I'm not going to run around trying to meet all this list of expectations that people have, hoping that I live up to it. No, I'm going to rest in God because he says, you matter to me and I'm proud of you no matter what. Can rest in that, my friends. And I know that this is true because he died for me on a cross. And listen, if anyone dies for you, then you know that that person must love you unconditionally. You know it. It's total confidence. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace which he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. See, my friends, trying to deal with your busyness without Jesus, that's like trying to mop up this floor without dealing with the source. But Jesus helps you deal with the source. He comes to you in your time of need, and he meets your needs at their very core level, at the very foundation of your needs. He comes and meets them. Your need for security, your need for significance, your need to feel loved and accepted and important. And when he does that, then you'll never be busier than you need to be. And you won't feel that stress on your life. So my friends, if you're here today and you're wondering, but what can Jesus do for me? That's what he can do for you. He can meet your needs. These needs that you're trying to meet, running around with all your busyness, trying to secure something for yourself. He can do that for you. He can give you peace. He can give you true rest. He can make you whole. Believe me, my friends, I'm living proof of this. And I believe so much in God and so much in the power of prayer. And so what I'd love to do right now is I'd love to just, if I could just pray for you. Pray for you that God would help you with your busyness you're struggling with. That he would help you in your life and in your struggles. That he would begin to draw you to himself and show you what it's like to be in a relationship with him. Oh Lord, you're good. You're an amazing God. You're an unstoppable God. You're God who loves me to my core, never leaves me, never forsakes me. I thank you for all of your goodness in my life. Lord, all of the grace you've poured out on me. I look at all my good things and I say, this is what you've done for me because you love me. And even though bad things may happen to me, it doesn't mean you don't love me. Maybe I don't know why that always happens, but I know that you love me. I'll never question that, God. I pray for these people here today. Many of us, we came here because, yeah, we're busy. Yeah, we're stressed out. Yeah, we got trouble at home. Well, Lord, would you help us? Lord, if you were real, if you were listening to me, would you help? I believe you are, and I believe you will. So on behalf of these people, I entrust them into your hands, Lord, and call your blessings upon them. Draw them into a relationship with you and show them what it means to be loved. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.